Lots to watch for today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the morning open. A look at the broader economy as trading gets underway this morning. Earnings the old-fashioned way. Uncle Ben's pot is stirring on Capitol Hill. And in South Africa, work, where you can find it, isn't so good. Here at home, where's Wall Street? The S&P 500 up about a tenth of a percent right now, about a point. The Dow up about 50 points, a half a percent, 88.94. And the NASDAQ down about a quarter of a percent. Mostly mixed there, but boy, European stocks are higher, a percent and a half, maybe two at this moment. And then Asian markets were mixed today. The Nikkei, though, shot up 2.5%. Julie Nieman is an analyst over at Smith Moore & Company. She joins us live from St. Louis. Hi, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
Positive earnings out this morning, as I mentioned. Coke said it raked in $2 billion in profits, up 43% over last year. United Health profits more than doubled. DuPont and Merck profits dropped, but less than analysts were expecting. All right, Julie, you're an analyst. Have we crossed over into some, American corporate renaissance here?
Well, the companies are all exceeding expectations. This has been going on all week, so big cheer from Wall Street, yay. There's been no guidance from the companies. Analysts had to do their own guessing, and they set the bar very, very low. We don't like to look stupid. So companies can come in better and get a big stock boost, but earnings themselves are coming from cost-cutting, and you can only cut costs so far. Eventually, you're going to need sales, and there's just no evidence of that yet.
All right, Julie, hang on just a second, because Marketplace's Amy Scott has prepared a report about Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke's testimony that starts in just, about 8 minutes from now on Capitol Hill, and she notes he's got a lot of irons in the fire.
The Fed has poured money into the economy to keep it afloat. All that extra cash may eventually lead to inflation, and many investors would like to know how Bernanke and company plan to prevent that. The Fed chairman gave a hint of what he might say before Congress in a column in today's Wall Street Journal. He outlined the steps the Fed could take to fight inflation down the road, like raising interest rates and taking money out of the system. Chris Lowe is an economist at FTN Financial.
If we're going to have runaway inflation, it can't be done without the cooperation of the central bank. And Bernanke is making a commitment not to do that, which is just the right thing.
Bernanke may find himself on the defensive today. Some members of Congress have criticized the central bank for its role in the financial crisis. Critics say the Fed failed to police banks and let the era of easy money go on too long. Bernanke's term expires in January, and he's fighting to keep his job. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Back with Julie Nieman in St. Louis. Julie, we hear from Amy about the prospects of inflation. Is that a bona fide concern?
Not at this point, because he can't have inflation until asset prices start rising. They're falling still. Commodities are just swinging, and demand is very modest. Wages aren't going up. In fact, they're probably going to go down. And money supply, it's a flood right now, but Bernanke can drain it fast enough just by ratcheting up interest rates. He shows every indication of being willing to do that.
But the Fed chairman isn't there just for the beneficent, you know, we can save the economy talk. He's there to keep his job, too. Does he have a chance?
Well, he's in the hot seat, and Greenspan was in the easy chair, but Bernanke is going to be the one who turns things around. I see absolutely no probability that he'll have his chair taken away from him.
All right. Julie Nieman joining us this morning. Julie, thank you.
You bet.
All right. California, the state of California, may get to put away all those IOUs. There was a deal between lawmakers and Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger that came last night that would close the state's $26 billion deficit. Both chambers of the state legislature have to pass the plan with two-thirds vote. You're listening to The Morning Report on Tuesday, July 21st, 2009 at Marketplace.org. Assets of the troubled auto parts maker Delphi go to auction today. There's been a lot of speculation about who's going to get what. But the state of Michigan is worried about something else. Who's going to clean up the mess? It's a growing worry for states with lots of industry. Elisa Roth explains.
Michigan's Department of Environmental Quality wrote a letter to the bankruptcy judge in charge of Delphi's case.
It said the state wants to be sure the cost of cleaning up old sites is calculated in the price of the company's assets. Bob McCann is the agency spokesperson.
The alternative would be that the state becomes the only real liable party left to do that cleanup, and frankly, we don't have the money for it.
He says what they're talking about are known as orphan sites. These are old industrial sites that factories leave behind when they close, and they often contain hazardous materials that can leach into the environment, and then the state gets stuck paying to clean them up.
Well, it's just the reality of any manufacturing area that we are going to have our share of companies that, due to the economy, are either downsizing or moving away completely.
And with states facing their own budget crises, the last thing they want to do is clean up after somebody else. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
As the debate over health care continues in Congress, there's a new survey that says the number of the uninsured will keep going up. Blame it on smaller employers getting rid of health plans and a tough individual insurance market. Jill Barchet reports.
Buying health insurance on your own is maddening. Lots of fine print, exclusions for pre-existing conditions, and the cost. Sarah Collins works at the Commonwealth Fund. It's a nonpartisan healthcare foundation. She says the individual insurance market is getting worse.
People who are buying their own health insurance are paying significantly more in premiums than people with employer-based coverage, but they're getting a lot less for their money in terms of protection against high out-of-pocket costs and access to preventive care and other services that they need on a regular basis.
The Commonwealth Fund survey found 73% of people who tried to buy insurance on their own over the past 3 years ended up buying no insurance at all. Collins says with many small businesses eliminating health benefits, the number of Americans without health insurance is sure to rise. Lawmakers agree the individual insurance market needs to change. They're fighting over President Obama's fix this week. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
A little piece of history goes on the auction block today. D.C.'s Watergate Hotel will be sold. It's the complex made famous by the 1972 burglary, which led to Richard Nixon's resignation. And it's an all-too-common scenario today. The hotel owner defaulted on its loan, and thousands of commercial properties across the country are facing bankruptcy or foreclosure, more than double the number from last year. As Danielle Carson reports, hotels are the hardest hit of all.
Even trophy properties like the Watergate Hotel aren't immune to the effects of the recession and credit crunch. As many as one in five hotels in the U.S. may default over the next year. The reason?
Business expenses have been cut dramatically. Vacations have been cut dramatically as well. You put those together, it's not a very good outlook for hotels across the country.
Brian Dawson is with the real estate firm Cushman & Wakefield. Overall, commercial real estate foreclosures have shot up across the country. In New Jersey, they're triple what they were last year. Lawrence Yun, chief economist with the National Association of Realtors, says a jittery lending market is making things tough.
Because of the credit crunch, there are very few buyers showing up, and hence many of the distressed properties defaulting.
Analysts say it's going to get worse for the commercial real estate sector when nearly $1.5 trillion of debt comes due in the next few years, especially if lenders aren't willing to refinance the loans. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
Nearly a quarter of South African citizens are officially out of work, 23% there. Yet those who are working are dissatisfied. Strikes and unrest have made a difficult go of it over there, all part of the financial crisis and a shift in the country's political administration. Gretchen Wilson reports.
Construction workers in hard hats and overalls demonstrate in the streets of Johannesburg, demanding double-digit wage increases. 34-year-old Bulalane Nkaza is a carpenter. Last week, he was one of 70,000 laborers who downed tools at stadiums being built for the Soccer World Cup. He makes about $10 a day, but says he needs more money to support his family.
I need the money because I have children. I support children at school, but this money that I got here, nothing can I do with it.
Construction workers got a 12% pay hike, and they're not alone in resorting to industrial action. In the past few months, there's hardly a sector here that hasn't gone on strike or threatened to do so. Teachers, gold miners, municipal workers, television employees. South Africa's new president, Jacob Zuma, took office in May. He ran on a populist platform backed by the country's labor unions and Communist Party. Dale McKinley is a political analyst in Johannesburg.
Zuma has risen on a ticket of a promise of reducing inequality and reducing poverty for the vast majority of black South Africans.
Now many workers want Zuma to pressure public and private sector employers to raise wages. Consumer inflation is at 8%. Food and electricity prices are up as much as a third from last year. Zuma now has to find a balance between fiscal discipline and labor's pent-up demands.
This administration came into a ship which was already full of water.
Makulule Lukele is an orthopedic surgeon with the South African Medical Association. He says doctors in the public health system have had grievances for years, but they often went ignored by Zuma's predecessor, Thabo Mbeki. Last month, thousands of doctors walked out of government hospitals in a wildcat strike.
It takes a lot of frustration. It's painful for a doctor to do that.
The wave of industrial action isn't over. 65,000 workers in the petroleum, paper, and chemical sectors just said they plan to strike over pay. And eyes are on South Africa's new president to see whether he will blink. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
Hope you can join us at our website, marketplace.org. Join us in the trading floor and share your thoughts with our online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, over at the Marketplace Scratch Pad. Online at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.